Blessed New Year to all of you on this day after our Lord's Epiphany. Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter, verses 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. So does your name mean anything? Did your parents pick out your name because it had some great significance, or they wanted you to represent something somehow? Probably not. I remember wondering why my parents gave me the name Don, and I always hated that name as a kid. It was Ronald McDonald and Donald Duck and everything. I got all the jokes. And I found out finally in about sixth grade that in Spain it meant master, so maybe I should have moved to Spain. I don't know. But the names that we're often given quite often really don't have a big significance, unless maybe you were named after a relative or possibly an event. They claim that in 1910 and in 1986, in those years, the name Halley spiked because of Halley's Comet coming around both of those times. There are a lot of 32-year-old women running around named Halley today. But names are most often not tied to anything that has any real significance in our day and age. Sometimes they can be a little bit ironic. I remember years ago talking to one of my classmates who was just extremely sad, and her life was so difficult, and her name was Joy. I've known a number of young men by the name of Christian whose lives gave anything but a testimony of being a Christian. Sometimes names can be a little ironic. There's a singer named Courtney Love who has been brought up on charges of violence by multiple police departments and things. Courtney Love. The name Dr. Mudd goes back to the time of Lincoln's assassination. John Wilkes Booth, who assassinated that president, received medical help from Dr. Mudd. And because of him helping him, got in trouble with the law, and his name was attached to the assassination. In fact, up until as late as 2003, his family, relatives, his ancestors were trying to get rid of the stigma connected to his name. Sometimes our names can have our sins connected with them, things that we've done in our past that aren't always so great, at least if you talk to the right people. Sometimes our name can bring up negative things about us in the minds and hearts of some people. And that certainly would be the case if God were to look at me and at you as far as how we've really lived our lives. What he could, if he wanted to, attach to our names could be pretty terrifying. I remember when I was in third grade, I committed a number of sins against my parents that went further than that, and nobody else knew about it but me. And when I was in eighth grade and finally got confirmed and went to take communion for the first time, that sin was just burning on my conscience. And I thought, this is what God sees when he looks at little Donnie Molstead. This is what God attaches to my name. And I remember having a hard time going to communion that first time, even though it was to receive my Savior's body and blood for my forgiveness. Do you have any communion rail sins in your life that could be so attached to your name that would be terrifying to have to think about God dealing with you? Back in biblical times, names sometimes had some tremendous significance. God changed the name Abram to Abraham in order to be called the father of many. Other names in the Bible often had great significance. And when God has his Son, the second person of the Trinity, to enter human history and to be born into the world, God does not permit Mary and Joseph to name their child, because he, by divine mandate, will label the mission of this child in the world. And he gives him the name Jesus. In the text that I just read, Joseph follows that command of God to name this little baby boy Jesus. Now, think about the vast array of names that God could have selected from to call this little child that would have been accurate and right. He could have called him the most powerful Almighty God. He could have called him the all-powerful Word. He could have called him the divine creator. He could have called him the God of the heavens, the eternal judge, all of which would have been legitimate names for this little baby. But he specifically chooses the name Jesus, because the mission of this little child is to be a savior, to come into this world to rescue us, you and me, and to save us. And he has come not just to be a savior in the world, or a savior of the world, or a savior in the world, but to be the only savior, and most importantly, to be your savior. And so as we enter this new year and this new semester, God invites you, by faith, to take this name of Jesus to yourself and to enter this year with that name on your heart. Enter with that name on your head in your baptism, where you have been relieved of all sins in your life from last year and covered by God's grace and righteousness of Christ as you enter into this new year with that name on your head. With the name of Jesus on your heart, God invites you to take all of your concerns and worries and anxieties and set them aside and let them evaporate and be quieted. And he says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. With the name of Jesus on your body, even the worst possible thing that could happen to you in the coming year, a surprise departure from this life that could catch you off guard, but with this name, Jesus, on your body, you know, as your Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live. And with this name of Jesus on your lips, you are given access to the ear of God the Father. As Jesus says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So let the name of Jesus be kind of like the banner above the gate through which you now go into 2019. And let that be on your head and on your heart and on your body and on your lips. And God invites you to see this little baby and to say with St. John, behold what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Amen. You may remain seated for our next hymn. Please rise and join me in the response of prayer you will find in your bulletin. O merciful and eternal God, you caused your Son to endure circumcision and to be made subject to the law, that we might be redeemed from the curse of the law. Grant us grace to become partakers of this redemption and finally obtain eternal salvation. We give you thanks for all your benefits, temporal and spiritual, bestowed upon us in the year past. Grant us a favorable and joyful year. Defend us from all dangers and adversities, and send us the fullness of your blessing through the one you have named Jesus, your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.